This week, we're looking at how China is gaining influence with U.S. allies in Asia. On Monday, we looked at Vietnam, where analyst Lei Hong-hyep told us China is getting around the trade war with the U.S. by shipping goods through Vietnam. He says Hanoi is finding itself in the middle of a new Cold War.
The U.S. and China entering a new Cold War, and the two powers will expect Vietnam to take side.
Yesterday, we looked at Pakistan, where China has developed a link between its border and a Pakistani port to move goods more efficiently. And analyst Shamila Chaudhry tells us there's military cooperation as well.
Pakistani political insiders will tell us that, look, the U.S. wasn't offering us what we needed anymore, and China was knocking on our doors, so we're gladly taking their help.
Today, we're going to check in on the Philippines, where President Rodrigo Duterte has forged closer ties with China since he took office in 2016, and China has pledged to invest billions in infrastructure projects there. These closer ties are being tested now because of disputes in the South China Sea. This week, Duterte called on the U.S. military to step in and force China out of contested areas. Joining us now by Skype is Richard Haydarian, who's a research fellow at National Shangqi University in Taiwan. Richard, welcome to Here and Now.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, and Duterte came in promising closer relations with China. Has that happened?
Well, that's where the problem comes into the picture, because President Duterte and his supporters claim that as a result of his friendlier policies towards China, we have not only achieved peace or some kind of stability in terms of our territorial disputes in the South China Sea, but he also claims that there has been a bonanza, a huge deluge of Chinese economic investments into the Philippines. But I think upon closer examination, that claim is highly questionable. First of all, since President Duterte has come into power, China's reclamation of artificially created islands in the South China Sea have accelerated, and now they are more or less completed. China also accelerated its militarization of those artificial islands. And of course, in the last few months, we have seen China using its maritime militia forces to bully and pressure Filipino fishermen. And of course, the latest incident was in the Reed Bank, whereby you have a Chinese militia vessel, at least a suspected Chinese militia vessel, sinking a Filipino fishing vessel, which was just anchored in the contested areas in the South China Sea, but well within the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. And they left the 22 Filipino crewmen to essentially drown in the high seas. They would have drowned if not for a Vietnamese fisherman in the area.
Right. The Vietnamese boat came and rescued those fishermen. So what's been the reaction in the Philippines to that incident? Are people starting to question the relationship with China?
So as far as the public sentiments is concerned, it's a little bit more complicated. So when Filipino survey agencies conducted polls, it's very clear that the United States and Japan are the most preferable international partners for the Filipino people, and China is the least preferred. So China remains very, very unpopular among ordinary Filipinos. But when Filipino people were asked whether America is a reliable ally, for instance, in light of the South China Sea disputes, will the U.S. help the Philippines? That's where a large plurality of Filipinos were actually uncertain. And when they were asked, do you think that we should rather explore security cooperation with countries like China or Russia? A significant plurality of Filipinos said yes. Now, there's a second layer to this. The Pew Research Center also conducted a survey in 2017, and they asked Filipino people, do you prefer to engage with China economically, or do you prefer to confront China because of their aggressive action in the South China Sea? Back in 2015, when President Duterte was not yet in power, when you had President Benigno Aquino, who took a more confrontational stance towards China, more Filipinos wanted to stand up to China rather than economically engage China. Under President Duterte, the numbers have reversed. And this is precisely what allowed President Duterte to pivot to China without triggering a massive backlash at home or a massive drop in terms of his popularity, right?
And where is the United States in all of this? Is the U.S. trying to keep some strong influence in the Philippines, or are they just allowing China to come in and have this very close relationship?
So the United States is also scrambling. After all, the Philippines was the only Asian colony of the United States. This is based on conversation with very senior officials that for a long time, the United States took the Philippines for granted. It's kind of a secondary ally that will always be there no matter what. And this is where President Duterte is quite revolutionary, because he has transformed our relationship with U.S. from sacrosanct and sacred and very deferential into one that is increasingly just transactional. The Obama administration took a much more hard line against President Rodrigo Duterte's highly problematic human rights record, particularly his war on drugs. Once President Donald Trump came into the picture, there was some qualitative shift. One qualitative shift was a de-emphasis on human rights issues, or at least President Trump never tried to raise the human rights issues during his meetings with President Duterte or during his speeches about the Philippines. That was something that reassured President Duterte and helped to restore their relationship, or at least stop the hemorrhage in bilateral relationship, which was the case under President Obama. In many ways, this was what was pushing him into the embrace of China, because China was saying, guess what? U.S. criticizes you on drug issue. I will support you on drug issue. The second issue is this. The Trump administration has expanded counterterrorism cooperation with the Philippines under Duterte because of the siege of Marawi by ISIS-affiliated elements in 2017. So ironically, counterterrorism cooperation are even better right now under Duterte with the United States than in previous administration. But that's a function of the nature of threat, shared threats that we face in Mindanao, in southern Philippines.
So what's at stake for the U.S. if China is gaining influence and the U.S. is losing influence in the Philippines?
Well, first of all, if the United States loses the Philippines to China, let's say the Philippines ends its treaty alliance with the United States or dramatically downgrades security cooperation with the United States, well, first of all, that's a huge psychological blow. And the second thing is the Philippines is very important in terms of its geographical location. Remember, Subic and Clark in the Philippines were the site of biggest American overseas naval and Air Force bases in the Cold War period. And they're now relevant again, not against the Soviet threat, but against the Chinese threat in the Western Pacific and the South China Sea. So a lot is at stake for the United States here. But this is my fundamental argument. If this is boxing, we're just round three or four. There has been no knockout yet. Because just as the United States struggles to regain the kind of comprehensive influence that it used to have over the Philippines during the past administration, the Chinese are also struggling to actually take the Philippines into their sphere of influence, precisely because of public skepticism, but also the Philippine military establishment is very close to the United States. And President Duterte has struggled to convince the Philippine military to embrace China. They still see China as the primarily external security threat to the Philippines.
Do you think that if China were to just take the Spratly Islands, which are disputed, that the Philippines would just allow them to do that, or would there be a fight?
Whether Duterte wants it or not, if the Chinese engage in skirmishes or in any drastic action that essentially kicks out the Philippines from the area, I don't think any Philippine administration can survive by just sitting back. And in fact, we are seeing a preview of that with what's happening right now, whereby a lot of people are saying, hey, you have to take a tough stand. They almost killed 22 of our fishermen and drowned them. I don't think even Duterte himself wants to go down in history as the man who lost Philippine land and territory in the South China Sea.
Well, and do you think that the U.S. would come to the rescue of the Philippines if the Chinese were to try to eject the Filipino sailors from that area?
I can foresee a situation whereby the Philippine defense establishment will directly ask Pentagon for intervention. And there is a growing possibility that Pentagon will actually intervene, because the Trump administration is willing to take the fight to the Chinese way more than previous American administration. I think most people are going to say, hey, see, this is what we get. You call out to China, you give them an inch, they're going to go for the whole hand. And now they want us completely out of the South China Sea. This is the scenario that could happen.
That's Richard Haydarian, who is a research fellow at National Shangqi University in Taiwan and author of the book The Rise of Duterte, A Populist Revolt Against Elite Democracy. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And tomorrow we'll wrap up our series with a look at Indonesia. You can find all of our stories at hereandnow.org.